Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, Dan Foster of National Review Online, in once again today for the vacationing Jim Garrity. And Dan, we've got a lot of Barack Obama audio here for folks. So if you're just sitting down to lunch, you may want to just stop for a minute and absorb all this before you finish eating, or vice versa. But
that's been one thing that this little bus tour has been great for. Is it's soundbite gold for the president.
It absolutely is. Our good martini today is an unscripted moment. If there's anything politicians hate, especially this one, it's an unscripted moment. The president was just done giving his little spiel, I believe, in Iowa, and he was working the rope line, signing autographs, posing for pictures, and lo and behold, somehow a couple of Tea Partiers got into this event. Somebody's going to get fired over that. But anyway, they confront the president over the fact Joe Biden called Tea Partiers terrorists in the later stages of the debt debate. And here's how that went down. Here's bite number one.
When you're talking about civility, how is your vice president calling us terrorists?
Sir, look.
I would like to understand that.
I will explain it right now. What he did not call you guys terrorists.
He said we were acting like terrorists, hostage takers.
What he said was that for us to be willing to take the economy to the brink was irresponsible. And it was.
Apologies for the John Philip Sousa in the background there. Here's part two of that clip where the president now tries to paint himself as the victim of the incivility in Washington.
Now, the truth of the matter is, considering what's said about me consistently.
This is the second person in your administration to call the right-wing people terrorists.
Well,
Janet Napolitano did it first.
No.
The president doesn't like being confronted with facts on the spot. He usually depends on the media, I think, Dan, to kind of paper that over, but these people brought up a couple of good points. Number one, first of all, the president tried to say that they didn't call the Tea Party folks terrorists, which obviously they did. Multiple people did. Then, of course, he tries to paint himself as the victim. Well, if you think that's bad, just consider what they've called me, which is a great comeback to the incivility argument, and good for these folks for pointing out the facts. And any little episode where Obama can be put on the defensive, especially against facts, is always a good thing.
Yeah, I think he was definitely running cover for Vice President Biden there. We know what was said, or at least what was agreed to, assented to in that meeting by the Vice President. And the fact is, the President's wrong when he says, considering the things said about me, because nobody of the Vice President's stature in the Republican Party, no Republican leader has said anything half so offensive or loaded with negative connotations. But I will say, Greg, that I actually kind of like this. And I thought it was good of the President of the United States to give even 60 seconds to people who were clearly not going to vote for him. And so I'm not going to give him too much guff for this exchange beyond the fact that he was spinning what the Vice President said. I think he was interested in defending himself, and then he realized that he could be here all day, and he moved on down the line.
Well, probably true. That's true anytime a politician runs into somebody who doesn't like them very much. So a very interesting exchange there. Also, the president making actually a little bit of news, although in a bizarre way, at the point where he was actually on message.
My basic attitude is we know what to do. I'll be putting forward, when they come back in September, a very specific plan to boost the economy, to create jobs.
Sounded really confident there as he rolled that out. And the thing that he said right after that is, if the Republicans reject this plan, of which I'm revealing nothing right now, then he's going to be running against the Republicans in Congress in 2012. And Dan, I'm pretty sure he's going to be running against the Congress on the Republican side in 2012, because as we established yesterday and many times in the past, he has no record of his own to run on, so if he can't demonize somebody else, he might as well not even run for re-election.
I love that last line, very specific. You guys are going to be so amazed by how specific this plan is. I think he got the point during the debt debate that speeches don't make policy, and a plan needs to be spelled out so that the American people can assess it on the merits. Yeah, I think either way, he's going to be running against the Republicans. We'll see what's in this jobs plan, but the fact of the matter is, you know, this guy has had more economic stimulus, QE1, QE2. They've pumped so much money into this economy, and none of it's worked. It's been a grand experiment. In many ways, if it weren't for all the jobless Americans, it would be a good thing, because all of the world will have seen that this sort of stimulus, this sort of Keynesian economics, doesn't work.
We'll see whether he actually has any new ideas He didn't say anything about new ideas. He just said very specific ideas. So I'm sure there'll be
so
no
specific.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be no suggestions for tax hikes on the wealthy and the end of, you know, giveaways to large corporations. Basically, I'm expecting the exact same thing we got in the stimulus debate, same thing we got in the debt debate, and basically the tired talking points. So we'll find out.
Well, it's all part of the everlasting pivot to jobs that's now entering year three.
Once again, a laser focus on the economy. And yeah. I also enjoyed his line yesterday about how he had the recession turned around, then just we had some bad luck. We had, you know, Japanese earthquake and all these other situations that have happened. It's just nothing is responsible.
Doesn't he sound like the guy at the blackjack table? I had it all figured out, man. I just bad luck, wouldn't you know it?
Well, we're talking about kind of the incivility throughout our conversation here today, and the president was touching on that during one of his appearances on Monday as well. The president trying to say that you know, things in Washington are so bad, our politics are broken. At the same time, he's trying to say, look, you know, tough politics is something we've all been dealing with ever since the beginning of this republic. And then, of course, he decided to compare himself with one of the most revered American presidents of all time.
Lincoln, they used to talk about him almost as bad as they talk about me. So, you know, our democracy has never been for the faint of heart.
I hope that was a joke, Dan, because if he really thinks he's taking it worse than Lincoln during the Civil War, when half the country, or what was once half the country, basically reviled the man, and even when the war wasn't going so great in the early stages, the North didn't really like him very much either. Pretty sure as rough as a road as it's been for Obama, Lincoln took a little bit more heat. And this follows on the heels of his appearance at a New York fundraiser, I believe it was last week, where he basically compared himself to Martin Luther King and all the slings and arrows and threats and obviously eventually the death of Martin Luther King for his pursuit of his dream for racial equality. And Obama says, just like him, I just keep moving forward to bend the arc of justice in the right direction. So clearly this guy's ego hasn't taken any hits, even though his poll numbers have.
Yeah, it's not just Lincoln and MLK, but also Ronald Reagan and Nancy Pelosi compared him to Job, as we recall. So they're fond on comparisons. You hit it right on the head, Greg. The idea that this guy is taking worse criticism than President Lincoln. I mean, you know what else they did besides talk nastily about President Lincoln? They seceded on the day of his inauguration.
Yes.
They put a United States Army outpost under siege. And they started the bloodiest war in American history. They also declared his presidency invalid. So, I mean, I think that's stretching it a little to say that President Obama is getting it worse than Abraham Lincoln, to say the least.
I think that's probably putting it safely. But you never know who's next. George Washington will probably be in there somewhere as well about leading Americans to victory against all odds or something. I'll just put that on the prediction block right
Alexander
now.
Alexander the Great. I don't know. Who else can we think of?
Exactly.
The Messiah.
that wouldn't be new, unfortunately, but right. I wouldn't be surprised if he struck that pose again, too. Dan, interesting as always. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Dan Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.